Kokodane, 3 to 6 p.m.
All right. We did indicate earlier on that we'll be chatting to the Deputy Minister of Cooperative Governance, that is Thembing Kadimeng. We are at the South African Cities Network report, which is being delivered today. And the theme of the report is cooperative governance and all of society approach, effective collaboration and partnership between urban sectors. Hello, good afternoon to you, Deputy Minister. How are you?
I'm good, Tabiso. Good afternoon to all the power listeners.
Thank you so much for your time, ma'am. We really appreciate it. So maybe just, you know, to explain to all and sundry people that are listening who are in traffic as we speak, in terms of, you know, why are we here and what is the significance, just as a start?
Well, yeah, this is a launch of a report in terms of the 21-year review of the existence of the South African Cities Network. Cities Network, it's a network that ensures collaboration in line with the planning of how our cities should look like following the Integrated Urban Development Framework strategy. Now, periodically, and I think this is the fifth or sixth report, we try to mirror and review how municipalities or metropolitan spaces, as we normally call them, look like. Are they within the framework of how ideally we had thought growth will happen in terms of their patterns, in terms of their settlement, in terms of trying to close the racial and spatial divide, for example, created by the pre-democracy dispensation? Is it now cheaper for your mom to travel from home to work, which was one of the ideals, for example, hence the creation in cities of integrated urban development transport. You have your Rea Vaya. Are they usable? Are they profitable? Yes, the public transport is not profitable by design, but it should be sustainable. But are they user-friendly?
Yeah. Yeah.
You see a bus with two magogos knitting and empty on its trip in town and back, but not in Soshanguve, for example.
So what have you picked up that is of concern to you before we delve into the positives?
Well, of great concern, and I think that's what my address was mainly about, is that IUDF can only happen in sustainable and productive municipalities, because like any other thing, for it to develop and to thrive, it lends itself in a particular ward in South Africa, which is a local ward. Whether it's a school, it's a police station, yes, it could be a national competence. But for that national competence to realize its function and mandate, the municipality must be functional. You could build a clinic or a hospital. If there's no water, the doctor can't perform operations. If there's no power, etc. So the goal will not be achieved because the home is not habitable. And unfortunately, the home is not habitable at a municipal level. That is why you have your Lichtenberg Clover cases, you have your Astral Chicken case. That's from a business perspective, but you equally, from a social perspective, a household perspective, have people go without water for days, and many other basic amenities that municipalities should do. So in response to this, as municipalities, we have not even begun to scratch the surface with regard to urban development, urban proper spatial planning, local economic development. Because remember, cities must develop regional economies. So if you can't house your people correctly, they will not be employed. There will be no business that stays there, and it creates a pattern.
So let me cut in, because I mean, as you speak, I mean, it just reminds me about this lack of handover, if you will, which is quite prevalent in government, where the development of the city, in inverted commas, is driven largely by political ideas. So if I work for a particular municipality and I do well, but my party is voted out of power, whoever comes in will
vote you out,
will kick me out and start their own project. And then now it's even worse, because you even have in certain cities a multi-party governance. And and just maybe to prolong my question as well, is that when politicians go to campaign for local government elections, they don't even scratch the surface in terms of their vision. I mean, they talk about water and electricity and all of that, which is important, but there are other underlying issues as well that speaks to continuity, that speaks to, you know, all other important elements in terms of the approach of their respective cities. Where are you there? And I'm also thinking about SALGA as well. Poor SALGA does research, makes recommendations, and people take those reports after events like this, put them in the bin, and they continue with whatever else they want to do.
Well, I think we've tried to separate municipalities, began a process which we have already been concluded to audit, if I may use that word. And for example, National Treasury says 43 of the 257 are financially in distress, extremely so.
Yeah.
And from a service point, a service delivery point of view, we came in with a report and we said to cabinet, 64 of them don't even provide a basic on top of this 43. So we moved incrementally. Now, what is this DDM trying to do in terms of now realigning municipalities, is that you are putting teams that I need to be aligned and put aspects and professionalization of local government to deal with that. A good example is Mangaung. Of course, there's still war that I saw in television yesterday.
Yeah, there's a guy who was.
Yeah, but what are we doing?
There's no problem with me.
What are we doing?
The city
here?
Is well run.
We said we've looked into Mangaung. They've had no less than 11, 12 council meetings since the beginning of the term. They've never spoken about service delivery. There's nothing that is happening. We're taking over as national government, of course, following processes, right to cabinet, get that. Appoint an acting senior manager who started today.
Yeah.
And say to them, to everybody else, hold your horses where you are.
Yeah.
Can we try and do it on behalf of the people? We're not doing it alone.
Yeah.
So water affairs will bring the water specialist and whatever, because, for example, there are areas in Mangaung which have not had water for the past 90 days.
Yeah.
So that's 3 months non-stop without a drop. So you'll bring in a Department of Water and Sanitation. You'll bring in the Department of Environment in terms of waste collection. So you bring in a team that will come in and try also to extend the skill. Because if we don't do that capacitation, then it means you need to have teams which are 257 and it may not be sustainable.
Let's talk about the positives, because there are positives. I mean,
greatly,
there are people who
greatly
enjoy Rea Vaya.
Great.
There are people who enjoy Gautrain. There are people who enjoy city life. I mean, there are people who, I mean, they these hotel groups that are coming up with with everything
packages,
under one roof, you know, full
package,
different prices, and all of that, right? There are, particularly here in Johannesburg and in Pretoria and many other progressive cities, there are there's nightlife, you know, proper nightlife to that extent. So what else would you point out as contained by the report in terms of what you probably think people might be interested to know?
Well, there has been development, as you may say. And remember, as I'm saying, the integratedness of the running of the city looks into all deliverables. You may not be happy about that you don't have electricity as a person, but the next one has. Hence, you're at 97%. But it doesn't mean the 3% is meaningless or you don't care.
Is it 3%?
Well, the country is relatively at 95-97% coverage. It's a moving target. Because as I'm sitting with you now, there's somebody who's
erecting
building a shack.
Yes.
And will be without power.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have moved way beyond 90% of energizing our communities. In terms of roadmap planning as well, to be able to allow and assist public works as part of the plan in the cities, but also extending into intermediate cities. For example, Umsunduzi has been adopted in the program. Polokwane, Umhlathuze, Richards Bay, Rustenburg, and many others to be part of the IUDF. I think there are 337 in total, to be part of the planning.
Yeah.
Because without planning,
yeah,
you will, then everybody sits everywhere else.
Yeah, so,
and now cities are more receptive into designing life that is supposed to be.
Yeah. I hate to use the word binding.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in Limpopo, there was a time when politicians were talking about building a new city.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in Rustenburg, the people are saying we were excited waiting for Rea Vaya bus system of some sort. But, I mean, I saw it. And some other cities are collapsing. So, and then I was listening to somebody from the city of Johannesburg yesterday talking about how in the next 5 years the population is going to balloon even further.
By 5%.
You know, areas like Soweto and all of that are going to have massive problems of influx, and they are already bursting at the seams with problems of electricity or land and all of
the
those
infrastructure
things.
Issues.
Now, some people are saying, what happened to building new cities?
Well, it's building new cities, one, but mainly is maintaining old small cities. So linked to this program is a small town regeneration strategy. The 105 municipalities which have got small towns, and all of them are almost dysfunctional.
Yeah.
When you go to Governor, where I come from, you go to your Petal, your Krill, or whatever, it's former self.
Yeah.
You go to any small municipality. So the strategy is double. There are mega ones, who you call them cities, and there are small towns. Why are cities booming? It's because of movement from small towns, which can't generate economically, which can't provide social, and people go like, let's go look for greener pastures, when it's not even green anymore.
Yeah, sometimes it also has to do with, is there school, is
accessibility,
there hospital,
convenience,
is there, you know,
everything else. So
can I take my kids out to of a thing?
Yes.
So this is what, I'm not making comparisons with us, between ourselves and European cities or the West, but the European cities have actually integrated innovation. You know, how you plant, how you, you know, on so many things.
Maximizing
so
space.
Maximizing space and all of that.
I think that's
it's
one of the leads.
It's a scarce area.
That's one of the leads of the report. And if you will recall, city of Johannesburg in Maboneng tried to reshape and re-maximize.
Yeah.
Of course, there should be many more examples of what we're talking about versus the dilapidation.
And it's working to a certain extent in Maboneng.
Versus the dilapidation that is now rapidly increasing in some of these cities and towns. So the maximization of spaces, for example, will make you think of spaces, small as they are, but they need to be experienced and expect in a particular field of innovation and spread out to the world. And that's what one of the areas
The question then is how open are municipalities to innovation? I come across a lot of young black kids who say to me, here's an innovation about robots, for instance, that does not need to be run on cables. I can make it run, and this is how I do it. And when they go to a particular municipality, they knock and they're treated like scumbags, you know? End up giving up.
It's so true. Innovation need the room for implementation, improvement, harnessing, research and development to make sure that it grows. And that's the fundamentals even of bigger companies on how they develop their markets and how they develop their products to improve on their markets. Yes, we've started programs which assist municipalities, but to be honest with you, we're relatively not in that space.
Yeah.
A good example is even where we're given a grant. For example, the Department of Minerals and Energy said to municipalities, well, we'll give you 10 megawatts space for you. We'll permit you at your own way to create sustainable alternative energy, which you will be able to sell it lesser to your city. So many municipalities are up and ready, but we're designing programs that will adopt municipalities into such spaces. How many municipalities sit without approving a way?
That's where my binding argument comes in. We've run out of time, Deputy Minister, but I have to ask you this. With all of these grand plans and what the report contains, I've always wondered whether we've got the right skill set to achieve all of these
Yes and
challenges.
No. we need to be receptive as municipalities, particularly to the external skill set, which we would want to come and bring in skills. Could they be financial? Could they be technical? Could they be technological to drive? Why don't we have Wi-Fi in all our and microfiber in all our municipalities,
yeah,
particularly in rural areas?
Yeah.
That's just an expert skill which you need to allow to the municipality. Charge them a way bill. They pay you a percentage of what they are making, and you let business run with that. So we need to be receptive to that rather than being closed up.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, man.